Join us this week as we descend into the darker side of human nature and uncover the shadows that dwell in the unknown. From chilling true crime and gruesome murders to spine-tingling paranormal encounters that defy explanation, we're peeling back the curtain on things that go bump in the night. So grab a flashlight and maybe a blanket, because you're listening to The Guilty and the Ghostly.
Finally. So Tori and I recorded an episode yesterday and we had some trouble. So the first time we went through it, we got about 15 minutes into the story and we lost connection. So we had a little thunderstorm come through and it knocked out the internet. So we had to go start back over. We recorded the whole thing, and as we were done and it was uploading, we lost connection again and it erased everything that we recorded. So I took her home and I was praying when I got home it would be on the computer, but when I got back, it was nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I had a small little minty bee. I was on the verge of tears. I was so upset. But we're recording it tonight. We'll get through. We'll have to redo Tori's episode and she'll be back again. So imagine that she finally comes back and the episode just went to shit.
Yeah, no kidding.
Sounds about right. A couple of business things that we need to talk about. We've already made a post about the structure of the podcast, so we are changing that a little bit. As you can see, Josh is with me today. We're also going to keep bringing Seth back on. Tori's still going to do it. So I'll be the main one that's here every week, but then my co-host will switch out every week. It's just hard with all the schedules that everybody's got going on. We all have busy lives, so we just figured this would be a fun way to keep it interesting, and you also get different point of views that way, so we thought it'd be good to switch them out. What kind of stories are you wanting?
I kind of like the cryptid stuff, you know, aliens, Bigfoot, demon stuff, just...
Of course you'd like demon stuff. So we'll just keep switching it out. I know Seth's working on a story that he's wanting to bring me. It was actually one that I had wanted to cover, but if he's wanting to do it, that's good for him. I'm excited to hear it. It'd be interesting to hear it for instead of having to tell it for once, so... We're changing it. We're working on it. We're working through it. As you can see, our setup's a little bit different. We also have some technical difficulties with our mic. For some reason, it's only picking up one mic, so we're sharing one today. But good news is we have new mics that are supposed to be here tomorrow. So we're going to change the look of things. We've upgraded our equipment. We're moving forward. It's just taking some time. We're on the struggle bus. I wonder if that picked that up.
I bet it did.
What else do we have going on? I've ordered stickers, so we've got stickers coming. They'll be here in the next few days, so we may try to keep them on us, I thought. And maybe if we see anybody in public or if we're referring them to the podcast, we can give them a sticker. Tori and I even thought about maybe doing, like, some type of giveaway. We'll have to figure something out and do, like, a cup and a t-shirt and sticker. That'd be kind of fun.
That'd be cool.
So we're working on things. We also have a few shout-outs. Kaylee Stokes, she keeps sending me recommendations. I'm actually working on a case that she sent me a couple of weeks ago, and it's a wild case, and it may or may not be the first two-parter. I'm almost done researching. I might be able to squeeze it into one episode, but it might be our first two-part episode. So that'd
be cool.
That one's interesting.
Yeah.
We've got Catherine Wellaby, Mickey Parker, Chad Oliver, Robin Mills. She actually sent me one too, where it's a spooky story, and she had her own personal experience there. So I've got that one that I want to cover too. So that'll be really good. And then Michaela McMullen. It was nice catching up. We'll have to hang out next time we come to Oklahoma. So has anybody else reached out to you that you know of?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah. So we're expanding. Our presence is growing. We're still trying to push our name out there. So again, like, comment, subscribe, rate, all of the things. It just helps push our name out there. Helps it spread around. It's hard. Seth and I kind of covered it. There's so many different options to listen to. It's hard to pick one. So it's definitely, there's a lot of competition out there. So it's hard to get through. Today's story, you actually told me you wanted to cover this one, didn't you?
Yeah. I just found it the other day, And I had no idea that this was even a thing.
Yeah, and it's not that far from us. I looked it up. It's only about 2.5 hours from us. So maybe we can have a date night and go ghost hunting. Which that reminds me, we didn't say we have another one that's literally just a few miles from our house that we want to go to. And we've got some little bit of ghost equipment coming in. So we're going to hopefully go out there and check things out and see what we can find and then cover the story. But today's story is Texas Goatman on Alton Bridge. So you didn't hear anything about this until you sent it to me?
No, I had never heard of it before.
Really? I've heard a few things. I don't think it's super well known, at least not where we're at. I'm sure it is like around that area. Sure, let's go ahead and dive in. So deep in the woods of Denton County, Texas, lies an old iron bridge with a dark and twisted past. Built in 1884, the Alton Bridge was once just a simple crossing to go over Hickory Creek. But today it's better known as its more chilling name, Goatman's Bridge. Legend has it, a local goat farmer named Oscar Washburn was brutally lynched and hung over the bridge by the KKK. But when they looked down, his body was gone. What followed were decades of unexplained sightings, sinister sounds, and stories that make your skin crawl. Is the Goatman still watching? Is the bridge cursed? Or is it just imagination of those who dare to cross it after dark? What do you think?
I don't know. I heard there was another story that I heard about somebody else getting hung there as well.
Oh, really?
Before that happened.
Yeah.
I was just watching it a minute ago. I can't remember the name. I wish I would have looked it up.
Old Alton Bridge was built, like I said, way back in 1884 by the King Iron Bridge Company out of Cleveland, Ohio. It's just a truss bridge is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Just basically means it was built for strength and durability using iron beams in a triangle shape pattern. Super common for the 19th century, and it is still standing today. So I thought that was kind of cool. It's like 100 and... The bridge was originally created to connect the city of Denton to the small town of Alton, which at one point was actually the Denton County seat, though only for a few years. It lasted from 1850 to 1856. After that, Alton just kind of faded out, but the name stuck around for the bridge. Back in the day, this was a major crossing point over Hickory Creek. It was used by horse-drawn wagons and later by early automobiles. It's just a single-lane bridge, only 14 feet wide. And it served as a vehicle traffic for well over a century until it was officially closed off to cars as recently as 2001. So that's crazy to think that it was just, well, I guess 2001 was...
It's been a little while ago.
It doesn't seem that long. We say 2001, it's like, it was only 10 years ago.
No.
Today, the bridge is open to pedestrians and cyclists. It's part of a trail system within the Elm Fork Greenbelt. It's a peaceful place to walk. A lot of people take photos there, soak in a little bit of Texas history. Unless you go at night. So I guess it's totally different at night. This is where things take a dark turn into one of Texas's most enduring and chilling urban legends, the story of Goatman of Alton Bridge. According to local lore, back in the early 20th century, some versions said 1930s, an African-American goat farmer named Oscar Washburn lived just north of the bridge. He was well-respected in the community. He ran a successful business selling goats.
Mm-hmm.
To help promote his trade, he hung a sign on the bridge. It said, "This way to the Goatman." One night in August 1938, a group of local Ku Klux Klan members were enraged by his success. The story goes that they actually kidnapped Oscar, took him to the bridge, and lynched him. They hung a noose from the bridge, placed it around his neck, and then threw his body over the side into Hickory Creek. It's hard to imagine that obviously there's still issues these days, but to think that somebody would be killed just because they were successful and not, that's crazy to think. But here's where things get strange. When they looked down to confirm that Oscar was dead, there was nothing there. There was no splash, no body, just an empty noose swing from the bridge. What would you do?
Oh, that'd be creepy.
That would be terrifying. The Klan members panicked. They went back to his house expecting to find him there. But he was nowhere to be seen. They ended up burning his house down and killing his entire family.
I would have been heartbroken.
Be dead.
Not if I got off the noose like he did.
People began reporting a terrifying creature stalking the woods around the bridge. A tall, half-man, half-goat being with glowing red eyes. Some say it's Washburn's spirit, twisted into something vengeful, but most claim it's actually something older, something demonic that latched onto the violence and hatred of that night. To me, that makes more sense because he wasn't an evil man. And yeah, I can see him being angry that what happened to him and his family, but I guess you never know. I guess somebody can hold a grudge, so.
I mean, yeah. When there's that much hatred involved, I could only imagine.
Yeah, that's true. And
the type of energy that would create would be...
And then all the energy that the KKK members are bringing when they're doing it, too. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody has their own energy. Over the years, visitors to the bridge have claimed to hear hooves on the bridge, growling in the woods, disembodied voices, and even being grabbed or shoved by unseen hands. Some say if you knock 3 times on the bridge or turn off your headlights and honk 3 times, the goat man just might answer. Whether it's ghost stories passed down through generations or something truly paranormal, the legend of Goatman is here to stay. And that's why Old Alton Bridge isn't just a piece of Texas history, it's one of the most haunted places in the state. People claim to see figures dressed in long black robes with hoods, holding old books. They say it's best not to make eye contact with them. Cats, dogs, squirrels, livestock, they're often seen, mutilated in the woods, almost like they were used in a ritual, I guess. Witchcraft and satanic practices are believed to take place on the bridge, making offerings to the dark entities, which I can imagine that could also bring in something, because, I mean, if it's just the lore, and yeah, there might be some spirits there, but then you have these people coming and opening up these portals and doing this stuff, and people doing it that they don't know what they're doing either.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they do, and they do it on purpose.
A very good possibility as well.
Bring in a bunch of stuff. So, on one of our favorite dude bro shows, Ghost Adventures, with Zach Baggins, they had an extreme encounter when investigating the bridge, which I think all of their episodes are pretty extreme.
Yeah, they're pretty extreme.
So this episode was season 13, episode 13, which I went to watch it the other night after you had fallen asleep, but season 1 and season 13 are not on Hulu, and imagine that, that's the one I needed. During their investigation, they did perform a ritual on the bridge. Zach became possessed. Aaron, which is the guy they always stick in the basement by himself, he always ends with the worst of it. He was supposedly thrown 20 feet back.
Wow.
Even their still photographer was supposedly possessed. And then I watched that video that you sent me with Sam and Colby, Dude Bro Juniors. But they had Call Me Chris on there. And I do like Call Me Chris.
I do too.
I listen to her podcast. I love her videos. She's awesome. She was on there. And
Selena Spooky Boo as well.
She did make an appearance, in which I'll talk about that in a little bit too. But yeah, Selena Spooky Boo is pretty good too. I like her. So we watched the video with them where they go and visit Goatman Bridge together. And they were actually interviewing a lady about it. And she was actually there when Ghost Adventures did their investigation. Witness their still photographer. Her name was Ashley. She became possessed. And the lady they were interviewing said that her eyes just went pitch black, and they're like, you need to remove yourself from this area. They did. They made her leave the area. That still photographer ended up quitting. What do you put on a job application for prior work history for that? Oh. I became possessed and I had to quit.
Recently possessed.
On Sam and Colby, they also told them there was supposedly a portal at the bridge. There's a tree that looks like it basically split in two. In the center of the trees is where the supposed portal was. So they did kind of show a few videos, and it does look like maybe it started as one tree and it kind of split off to others, maybe. Or maybe they're just really close together. You couldn't really see.
That happens sometimes. Yeah. Whenever they grow real close, they kind of fuse together.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it looked like.
Yeah. There was a young investigator who supposedly touched the portal and was in a severe car wreck once they left and went home. There are often candles surrounding the tree. It's believed that the Goatman is not just one person, but more of like an accumulation of all the negative energy that formed into the entity. The entity is normally very aggressive and disrespectful to women, which poor Chris, she was the only woman there because Selena didn't make it. The Goatman is known to look just like it says, half man, half goat, about 8 feet tall, very muscular, red or dark fur, and with fangs, black eyes, and of course the giant goat horns that you expect him to have. In the Sam and Colby video, they also seen bare footprints in the woods, which I thought that was kind of spooky. Even if it's not a spirit, they're in the middle of these woods and there's bare footprints in the mud. Now, they don't only have the goat man that terrorizes people while visiting the bridge. We also have a ghost named Steve. Steve is known to be a very dark and aggressive entity as well. He is believed to be the former dragon of the KKK. I think I wrote that right. You said that's like kind of like a leadership role, I guess.
From my research, yeah.
Okay. He's described to be a very evil man, even in life. He had three wives. But he wanted to have four, because three wasn't enough. Let me get a fourth wife. And he kidnapped her. So he couldn't take her willingly, so he kidnapped her. He beat and assaulted her. She, of course, did not want anything to do with him, so she went and got poison and tried to off herself with the poison to escape having to be with him. He had beat and mutilated her body so badly that cannibalism was listed as the contributing factor to her death.
I've seen that. Isn't that That's crazy?
Wild. Wild. He is known to be even darker and eviler? More evil?
More evil? Sounds better. I don't know.
Well, I put more evil on this earlier and it kept auto-correcting it and made me put eviler.
Eviler?
Us know. He's more evil than the goat man. He is known to go after women. Demonic growls are known to be heard, a lot of times right up close and personal and in your ear, often accompanied with the vision of a decaying demon with saliva dripping from his mouth.
That sounds disgusting.
I wonder if he smells demon breath.
100%.
There is another area by the bridge that looks to be a giant cement pad that people have painted a Ouija board on it. In the video with Sam and Colby, there was even like a burn spot where they had a bonfire where I guess they had a ritual or a seance, maybe.
Kind of looked like it. But that spot that they were on, it was like a big cement pad that somebody turned into a Ouija board.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah. The lady that they had interviewed told them at the very beginning, like, be very mindful when you ask questions. Do not ask open-ended questions. It needs to be very direct and make sure you know what you're asking. Be very specific. They did get some interesting hits on their ghost box that they had, or spirit box, saying things like leader, fire, group, and psychic, which those words were interesting because before they even started using the ghost box, Selena Spooky Boo, our girl, had called the group. So she was actually supposed to join the group on this investigation, but the night before, while she was in her hotel room, she became so sick. She said she threw up like 25 times, couldn't keep anything down, and she just couldn't power through. She had to go home. Well, she got on a flight to go back home, and while she's on her flight, she was having a crazy dream. And in the dream, they were going through what looked like a portal, which they said that she had no knowledge of this portal that was on the property, or supposed portal that was on the property. And she had a vision of them going through a portal. The group ended up getting separated, and one of the boys ended up crying and having blood all over his face. The flight attendant ended up waking Selena to let her know that she had actually been screaming in her sleep and was checking on her to make sure she was okay. Mm. That's wild.
That's crazy.
Which I have dreams, not to that extent, but I've had dreams before where, like that one where I had a crazy, I can't even remember what the dream was now, but it was about Lauren. And it was like, she was seeking me out and I hadn't talked to Lauren in months or maybe even a year. And I was like, it was John. In my dream, it was John coming to me, telling me, you need to check on Lauren. Check on Lauren. Please check on Lauren. And so I woke up the next day and I text Lauren and was just like, hey, girl, how are you doing? Hadn't heard from you in a while. Hope you guys are doing great. And she was actually going through a really rough time. And it was just kind of weird how I had that dream out of nowhere.
But you've always had some crazy dreams.
I have some wild dreams, y'all. We'll have to have a dream episode at one point in time because my dreams alone are terrifying. For me and for Josh. So the flight attendant woke her up to check on her. But she had this dream that the group went through this portal. One of the boys ended up with a bloody face, crying, and they were all running. So it really spooked her out. And she called them just to give him a warning, like, stay away from the portal. So after Selena. After Selena Spooky Boo called him, shortly after the group started crossing the bridge, and Sam had a pain on his back right after, and Colby had asked for the spirit to show them they were there. So they were like, show us you're here, give us a sign. And about that time, Sam said, my back hurts. Can you check my back? And they lift up his shirt, and sure enough, there was red marks on his back to where something hit him. They then started using the flashlight method and was asking questions, and they seemed to get a response telling them to go back to the Ouija board. So they set up flashlights, I think one green and one red, or maybe it was blue, I don't remember, on opposite sides of the bridge. They're like, if you want us to go this way, turn that one on, or if you want us to go this way, turn that one on. And the side that turned on was to go back to the Ouija board. So they make their way back to the Ouija board, and they get the ghost box back out, and it said push. And so they made their way back to the Ouija board. They get the spirit box back out, and it started playing words that seemed to answer questions directly. They then make their way back to the bridge. They wanted to perform the ritual of going across the bridge and honking three times to summon the demon, which this was kind of funny. So you can't take a car over the bridge anymore. So they had Chris hold one of those squeaker horns, and the two boys were both on the other side of her holding a flashlight like it was the headlights, and they were going across the bridge. It was kind of funny. So they go to the middle of the bridge, they honk three times, nothing happens. They then decide to go under the bridge where it's most common to see rituals take place. This part was wild. So they lit a few candles, and as soon as they light the candles, their REM pod immediately started going off like crazy. They move the REM pod away from the circle and it stops. So Sam picks it up again, puts it back in the middle of the circle, and immediately starts going off again. They pull out the spirit box and start getting hits again, saying seven, Sam. It either said Sam or seance. They couldn't really tell which one it was saying. They ask if it got Selena sick, and it said, I did. They ask again, and it gives them the same answer. They then ask if they wanted to talk to someone specific, and it sounded like it said Chris, which, mind you, Chris is the only girl on this investigation. They asked why, and it says lady. So again, that's creepy. They start asking more questions. They asked if they wanted them to go somewhere else or stay there. It says, you know what to do. And right as soon as it says, you know what to do, every single one of their candles blow out.
That was a crazy thing that happened. That was
crazy. And then they got it on video. That's awesome. They then decide to close out the session and leave and make their way to the portal. So they light some more candles and they begin the Estes method, which I've touched on this during the Fair Elementary episode. So basically you take one person and you put them in noise-canceling headphones and you blindfold them. It's connected to a recorder and it will play the words that are coming through to the person wearing the headphones. So the person wearing the headphones can't hear the questions that people on the outside are asking. He can only hear what the recorder's picking up, what's playing through it, if that makes sense. Right off the bat, it says Colby. They ask, do they recognize him? And it says he needs to pray, which another weird thing, he was the only one wearing a cross necklace. So it was kind of weird that it would say that to him. Chris asked about the portal and if that was where they need to be. And it says, He needs it. Colby said something about wearing a cross and they couldn't touch him even if they wanted to. And it says, oh, discovery, which that's weird. Colby then asked, who are we talking to? And it says, demon. That gave me chills.
Me too.
They continued the session. It was very creepy. And they decided it was enough. It was getting too intense. The stuff it was saying was just a little too personal. I think it really started to freak them out. So they ended it, started packing up, and they're hearing footsteps again. So the whole time they're hearing somebody off in the distance following them, and they never did find an animal or... Because we are in Texas. There's armadillos. There's possums. There's coyotes.
And armadillos sound like a big man.
They are huge. Yes.
In the woods.
So I know I dogged on Sam and Colby for the Fair episode, but this one was pretty good. And I think a lot of it is because I like Chris so much. I like Chris and Selena. So they make it worth my while.
Yeah.
They're a little bit obnoxious, but it entertained me. I'll admit that.
It was a really good episode.
Yeah. So then Like I said, I wanted to go watch Ghost Hunters. I already talked about that, but it wasn't on there. So I checked out BuzzFeed Investigates, which I hadn't ever watched anything. I've heard of them, but I've never watched any of theirs. They're pretty funny, too. One of them, typical terrified guy. He was scared of everything. Before even stepping on the bridge, he was freaking out. He even got a water gun and put holy water in his water gun. The skeptic very quickly started to instigate with the spirits and trying to piss off the goat man. The believer of the two, the whole time, it was like he was in shock. He's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. It was pretty good. They did knock on the bridge 3 times, waited it out, but nothing seemed to happen. They moved to the woods, and it's crazy that they experienced the same thing that Sam and Colby did with the walking around, and you almost hear screams in the background, but part of you is like, well, it could be a bobcat, or it could be, you know, what other wildlife, but it is very eerie that you hear the same sounds in that video as you did the Sam and Colby video. While walking the trail, they started hearing noises, and they seen a bush kind of rustle around, and that's when they actually heard the scream. They continued to hear odd yelling as they went through the woods. They also had a spirit box and turned it on. It started scanning. They said, say your name, and it said Goat Man, which that was wild.
That was crazy.
Then it said Bridge, and then it said Steve, which I can't remember on that one. Did they know about the other spirit named Steve?
Can't remember. I think so.
I think so too.
I just watched it.
It would have been crazier if they didn't, and yeah. It said Steve. They then went back to the bridge and set up a Ouija board and lit some candles. Again, nothing really climactic happened. They ended up closing the Ouija board, but they were funny. It was definitely a fun watch. So they were definitely worth it. So yeah, that was kind of some of the spooky stories. There's a bunch online about happenings and creepy encounters. I think kind of Tori and I kind of talked about it in the lore of Athens. Kind of the same thing, though. Even it's not even necessarily the spirits in the woods when it comes to stuff like that. It's who you're going to meet when you go in those woods. You don't know people's motives or why they're out there. And that kind of, I think, adds to the chill factor.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. So I guess that's it. It's our quick episode. Kind of unplanned to do it tonight, but I didn't want to make Tori come out here and record it for a third time. The good news is Tori started a new job, so she actually has set days off now, so I think she's going to come on Wednesdays now and record with me. She was a server, and at her hours, she would go in at 10 o'clock in the morning and wouldn't get off till 10 o'clock at night most days. So even when she was off, she was just exhausted. So I get it. So she's got a big girl job. She's doing big girl things, and I think she's excited about it.
Good.
Yeah. So just bear with us while we get everything figured out. Like I said, we've got new equipment coming. Hopefully this picks up everything.
Yeah, I hope so.
Little baby tiny mic. And I guess that's it for this week.
I'm excited that we get to possibly start doing some of this ghost hunting stuff.
I know. And then we have our trip going to Alabama soon. And I think we're going to do a ghost tour with the kids. But they like the creepy stuff, so I think they're okay with it.
Yeah.
So we get to go do a ghost tour in Alabama. And then when our equipment comes in this week, like I said, there's a local place that we've been there, but we've never ghost hunted there.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to do the research, figure out some information, and then go out there and see what happens.
Yeah, maybe we'll have a cool episode for you.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I guess that's it. Until next week, we'll see you later.
Bye.